I would really address the men on Father's Day, but I kind of started this sermon series last Sunday, so I want to just kind of continue along this subject. It's all in your mind. And I know that it's some stuff that is going to really help us, because it is in the mind. A man goes to his doctor and he says, "Doctor," he said, "I need you to help me." He said, "Because I feel that I'm a dog." And he says, "You feel that you're a dog?" So, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, I drive home in the evening. I pull in my driveway and I get out of my car and I start chasing cars and barking at them." He said, "I go into a grocery store and I go down the pet aisle. I find myself ripping open bags of dog food and eating them." The doctor says, "Well, that certainly is a most unique problem," he said, "but I think I can help you." He said, "But first of all, I need to ask you, how long have you had this problem?" And he said, "Well, ever since I was a puppy." It's all in the mind. I want to give you a verse of scripture, Philippians 2:5. And then we're going to go to the Gospel of Mark chapter 5. All right, book of Philippians chapter 2, the verse says this. Verse 5 says this. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. "Let this mind be in you." Goes on and says, "Being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." Made himself no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What an incredible passage of scripture. Oh, thank you. I don't know if it'll help unless you spike it with something. But we won't do that. Had a young kid in the church one day, found the anointing oil. He held it up and he said, "I found what the pastor has been drinking." We don't drink the anointing oil. But thank you for the water. What an incredible passage of scripture. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Jesus Christ." Now I want you to think of that verse of scripture. Think of that statement. Let this mind, because if we can have the mind of the Lord, my friends, we are going to be effective in life. We are going to be blessed. God is going to use us, and we will reap the incredible benefit of having the mind of Christ. What does that mean? We're going to talk about what that means in a little bit. But I want to bring your attention to a story that is recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. This is what we call the story of the demoniac of Gadara. Mark chapter 5, this is a little lengthy, but I want to read it to you today. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 2, it says, "When they came out of the boat, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. He had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not even with chains, because he would, after being bound with the shackles and chains, he would pull them apart, break them in pieces." And verse 4 says, "No one could tame him," or they could not calm him down. Could you imagine that? Living in the cemetery. The Bible says always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. I mean, this guy is messed up. You think you're messed up. This guy was messed up. It says, but when he saw Jesus, he ran and he worshiped him. Recognized the authority. Recognized the mind of Christ. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you torment me not. This was a demon spirit talking. And he said, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is your name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Legion is about 6,000. This was in militaristic terms of a Roman army. A legion of soldiers would be 6,000 soldiers. So this guy had, you want to talk about multiple personalities. He had all kind of problems. So this demon power that is controlling this man, he says, we are many. And he begged him, verse 10, that he would not send them out of the country. And a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. And the unclean spirits went out. They entered the swine. It says there were about 2,000. All that bacon is now gone. Do you know that's the main reason I'm not a vegetarian? It's because of bacon. 2,000 pigs. And it says they ran violently into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus. Now notice this. Can you open that for me, please? This is a powerful statement in verse 15. I mean, think of how messed up this guy was. It says they came to Jesus and they saw the one who had been demon-possessed, thank you, and had the legion sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Whatever was controlling him, whatever his problem was, gone, just like that, replaced with the mind of Christ. You see, the devil tries to convince us that we cannot get by without that drug or without that alcohol or without that relationship or without that money or that vehicle or that home. Or he tries to convince us that we need all of those things because he wants to gain control. See, it is sin that alienates people from God. It is sin that brings division and strife. And it's because of the sin problem that people struggle with identity and a negative self-image. The scripture does not tell us what led to this man's possession. But I guarantee you he did not just wake up one day in this condition. The attack in his mind was intended to erect a stronghold, an established habitual pattern of thinking and behaving that would lead to this kind of control. But thank God, the demoniac of Gadara illustrates that we can get our mind back. Oh, come on, somebody. We can get our mind back. Hallelujah. You know, this guy had a story. You ever go downtown, you ever go into the city, you'll find guys on the street corner all over. You know, they live on the streets. They, you know, they live by handouts. Every one of those people, whether they are male or female, every one of those people has a story. They did not just wake up one day in that condition. See, you can get your mind back. This story so powerfully illustrates that. Whatever it is that torments our mind, whatever it is that gets us into the realm of the dead, into the realm of dead living, dead existence, we can get out of it. I tell the story. I've shared this story before. I'll share it again. We had a guy who was living on the streets. He was living in a cardboard box behind Walmart down here. We would do a Sunday night. This is when we still had Sunday night services. We did a weekly prayer gathering. Guy would, he never show up on Sunday morning. Y'all know why. Got to sleep it off. But he'd come in Sunday nights. He was always drunk, pilled out. He'd come up to the altar. I'd pray for him. I said, man, what specifically do you want? He said, I want you to pray for this blankety blank alcohol. I mean, people in the street, they just raw. And I'm worried about honor and respect. You know, so they just going to tell you. You know, and he used a few very graphic profanities. But he understood his condition. I prayed over the guy. He said, Pastor, the judge says if I come back in his court one more time, he said, that's it. I don't know what that means. The guy used to, he panhandled right on the corner here. And he was a real aggressive panhandler. If you didn't roll down your window and give him some money, he was knocking at your window. Can't you read my sign? One night I pulled up at the church, 6 o'clock in the evening. He was sitting in the front, leaning against the front glass door. He had about 5 or 6 tall cans of beer. Not 12-ounce. Big ones. Then he had at least, I want to say, 15 bottles of prescription medication. And he was very decorative. You know, he had decorated the front of the door. Very organized. Had all of his stuff all around. So I got out of my vehicle. I walked up. I said, brother, I said, listen, we're going to have prayer in a few minutes. I said, you got to get all this stuff together. I said, I'll get you a bag. I said, no, I got a bag. So you got to get all this stuff together. I said, you got to get out of the front of the church, man. I said, we got people coming in. And he did, you know, and what did he do? Come in the service. Because he wanted prayer. He needed deliverance. But how many of you know that guy did not just wake up one day in that condition? There was some time that went by because of habitual decisions struggling in his mind. The devil convinces people in their mind. He'll convince you that you are something that you are not, and you will begin to believe it because it's all in your mind. I want to give you some. And this is going to be I'm going to share some theological stuff with you, if that's okay. Because I want to detail this guy's condition. See, because the demoniac illustrates the darkness of bondage. And it always begins in the mind. And that's why Jesus said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, lies, thievery. He listed all kind of things. It comes from the inside. See, this guy illustrates the darkness of bondage. But I want to pose the question, how did he get to this point? How did he get there? Everybody's got a story. Everybody. Thank God that when Jesus comes in, there's a new book that begins to be written. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for that. There's a new book. The Bible says in reference to the person of Christ, It says that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written about Jesus Christ. We have the gospel, we have the message of the Word of God, but the Bible says that even the world could not contain everything that could be written about Him. Man, isn't that incredible? Because Jesus is so awesome. Thank God that He brings salvation and deliverance. Thank God that He sets us free. And He who the Son sets free is free indeed. This guy had a lot of demons. If you follow any celebrities on the news or in some of these television programs, you know, ET and programming of that nature, you know, they will many times profile musicians or movie stars or high profile people that struggle with a lot of things, and they will make a reference to their demons, that they are combating their demons. Now, I don't think that those television programs really understand what they're talking about, because they are just kind of using a terminology to refer to what they believe is a physical problem or even a disease. But there is a real demonic power that is behind all of it. So the question I want to pose is, how did this man get to this point? So I want to share four things here, I believe, that are going to help us to understand. How did he get to this point? And wherever you are today, maybe you need deliverance. Maybe you need salvation. How did you get to that point where you are right now? How did you get to that point of losing control? Losing it. And being under the demonic force or the demonic control of whatever it is that you may be struggling with. First of all, downward spiral begins when truth is rejected. Isn't it amazing that the Bible says in John 14:6 that Jesus is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is truth. Thank God. In John 8, He said, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Everybody either accepts or rejects truth. Downward spiral begins when truth is rejected. If you go into Romans chapter 1, you will find a whole discourse of what happens to a people or a society when they begin to reject the truth about God. And when they reject the truth about God, then they begin, out of their own imagination, they begin to form their own idea or concept about God. And in Romans 1:25, it says that they exchange the truth of God for a lie, worshiped and served the creation rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. That word change or exchanged, it means that they swapped truth for their own lust. If you go into the Bible, you'll find that the scripture says that the Israelites, that they lusted after evil things. Now, we hear the word lust and immediately we relate that to sexual problems or sexual issues. But the Bible teaches us that people lust after all kind of things. People lust after money. People lust after fame. People lust for power. People lust after all kind of things. The Bible says that the Israelites lusted after evil things. So that's what happens. A downward spiral begins when truth is rejected. And that's why the scripture says that at the great judgment, where every person will have to stand before God according to the Word of God, at the great judgment, people will be judged based upon whether they accepted or rejected Jesus Christ. And the Bible says those that accept the Lord, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They will never be judged for their sins. See, that's what's the good news. Thank God. That's the good news. We'll never be judged for our sins because he was judged for them. Now, it says for believers, we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will be judged for our motives. We will be judged for our attitude. We will be judged for various things in our life of how we lived our life for the Lord on this earth. But thank God we will never, never be judged for our sins. Thank God for that. Thank God that he liberates us. But everybody is going to be judged based upon either they accepted or rejected. That's why we have to preach the gospel. That's why we gather here every week and we preach the word. That's why we share it, you know, in our sphere of influence, because God's desire is for all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's what Peter said. God's desire is for all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But a downward spiral begins when truth is rejected. Here's the second thing. His mind became depraved. A depraved mind means characterized by inherent deficiency of moral sense and integrity. He could no longer even make right moral decisions because his mind had become depraved. Can't reason morally. Kind of sounds like the world we live in, does it not? Where does morality come from? I've always said this. Who's making up the rules? Right? Who's making up the rules? If you remove God from society, who makes up the rules? The sinful heart of mankind? Who wants to follow that? I mean, look how messed up the world is. I mean, the world in which we live, my friends, is messed up. This world is messed up. People are messed up. They may not be as bad as this guy. I remember in the days of Charity Hospital, I remember going on more than one occasion into the psychiatric ward. You know, as pastors, we're called upon to go pray for people and to go minister to people. And, you know, every time I would go to the psych ward in Charity Hospital, I began to quote a scripture. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy... Listen, there's real devils. Come on, somebody. There's real devils. And there's people with real problems. And, you know, man, I tell you, keep your prayer life strong. Go and make those kind of visits. You know, because there's a lot of people in our world, man, they are messed up. You know, his mind became depraved, could not reason morally. No sense of morality and integrity, none whatsoever. So how did he get to this point? I believe all of these factors were working and operating. Here's number three. Negative life experiences form a pattern of behavior. Negative life experiences. How many people have gone through negative experiences in life, and that has impacted them? And I mean, that's why some people are really messed up in their mind, because it's in the mind. Now, we know one of the greatest needs in the United States of America is the need of mental health treatment. Isn't that amazing? That we are the most blessed and the most prosperous nation on the face of the earth. But yet, one of the greatest needs in this society is mental health treatments. And there's not enough of it. There's not enough availability. You know, so we got all these people. That's why, listen, we prayed about this in our Wednesday night service, but You know, with the congressman being shot and those others that were shot, you know, I mean, something was going on in that man's mind. How many of you know that? There was a condition in his mind. I mean, really, think about it. What would drive somebody? I mean, how could your life be? I mean, to look at the guy, it didn't seem like he was starving to death. He seemed pretty healthy. He was pretty buff, you know. So, I'm sure that, you know, he wasn't starving. But what drove him in his mind to think that if I shoot some politicians, that's going to solve all of my problems? And to take that kind of action. But I would pose, what kind of negative life experiences happened to that man? I guarantee you, if they would do a sketch, a biography of his life, I guarantee you it would reveal some things. Because negative life experiences form a pattern of behavior. So how did he get to this point? All of these things were working in his life. Here's the fourth thing. When the mind is seduced, the result is demonic control. Look at this verse of Scripture. How many of you know the Word of God is awesome? It answers so much. I mean, the answers, you know, the answers are here. Listen to what this says. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Giving heed. Some will depart, giving heed to deceiving. The original King James Bible says seducing spirits. That word seducing is a very interesting word, or in the New King James as I'm reading here, where it says, some will depart from the faith giving heed to deceiving spirits. Seducing spirits or deceiving spirits. It comes from a Greek word. It means to roam as a tramp. Some of you guys saying, oh, he's talking about my old girlfriends now. Some of you girls may be saying, oh, he's talking about my old boyfriends. To roam as a tramp, an imposter, a deceiver, a corrupter. That's what the word means. And the Bible says that people will depart from the truth. They depart from the faith, the gospel. They reject the gospel. I told you I was going to give you some theological stuff today. I hope it's all right. When the mind is seduced, the result, my friends, is demonic control. Seducing, roaming as a tramp, imposter, deceiver, corrupter. Last week we talked a little bit about this, that in the structure of the forces of darkness, that there are demonic spirits. There's only one devil, but there are hordes and hordes and hordes of demon spirits operating in our world. And that they study God's people to plot their downfall. And many times they are successful. That's why Jesus said, be wise as a serpent and be harmless as a dove. That's why the Word of God says, gird up the loins of your mind. We got to fortify our mind. Because what do we need? We need the mind of Christ. Because the mind of Christ, man, it's going to keep me going the right direction. In the midst of all of this negativity, in the midst of all of these tramps. And we're talking about spirits now. We're talking about demonic spirits. And the Bible says the demoniac was possessed with an unclean spirit. Unclean spirit. A degenerate spirit. Or as the word says here, spirit of a tramp. There's all kind of things that can get us off track. And that's why we must have the touch of God in our lives. So that brings me to the second part of the sermon today. Because the inward work of God is going to produce a right mind. So I pose another question. What does it mean to have a right mind? What does it mean to have a right mind? What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? First of all, number one, the word right means sound, sober-minded, self-controlled, good judgment, and discretion. Hallelujah. My friends, that's what we need right there. To have a right mind. Sound, sober-minded, self-controlled, good judgment, and discretion. The only way you can get that is your mind must be saturated with the truth of God. It's got to have the truth of God. To be sound, to have a sound mind, sober mind, self-controlled, good judgment, and discretion. It's the inner work of God that does that. This man, thank God, met Jesus Christ. And because he met the Lord, his life would never, ever be the same again. Here's the second thing. It means to have the spiritual mind of Christ, and it means to live by the Holy Spirit. Man, look at this verse. I think we read this last week, if I'm not mistaken. But I want to read it to you again today in the Amplified Bible. Listen closely to what this says. You want truth? Man, this is truth right here. Listen to what this verse says. It says, now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason, or reasoning without the Holy Spirit, is death. Listen to this. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. Wow. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. Man, you ought to study that verse for a while. The mind of the flesh. This is where the people of the world live. Before I knew Jesus Christ, this is where I live. Before you knew Jesus, that's where you live. If you don't know Jesus, that's where you're living right now. The mind of the flesh, it is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. And what does it do? It produces death. Death that comprises all of the miseries. Did this guy have miseries? Think about it. He's living in a cemetery. He's naked. Doesn't wear any clothes. Cutting himself. I mean, this guy was in bad shape. Bad shape. All the miseries arising from sin was illustrated in this guy's life. Until Jesus. Hallelujah. Until Christ changed everything. You see, the bottom line is we can't reform ourselves. We might... Men, we might make a dedication to our wives and say, man, I'm going to be faithful to the end. I'm not going to ever have an affair. I'm not going to smoke. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to live a party lifestyle. I'm not going to run around. We might make a commitment to do all of those things and may even be able to have a level of success in doing them. But there still is an inward problem that only Jesus can change, because that's the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. So if I am going to have the spiritual mind of Christ, that means that I am living by the very same Spirit that was upon him. Thank God. Man, what a great promise that we have the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. Let me keep moving. We're almost done here. See, that inward work of God, man, thank God for the inner work of God, the touch of God. So here's number three. What does it mean to have a right mind? Sound, sober-minded, self-control, have the spiritual mind of Christ. Number three, it means to be in your right mind means you are clothed in righteousness. Here's another great passage, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, Amplified Bible. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. And put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, Godlike in true righteousness and holiness. Man, what a great verse. Be constantly. You can't just be occasionally renewed. You have to be constantly renewed. And when you go to the grocery store, does anybody go in looking for last week's bread? The first thing you do, remember Mr. Wiffle said, don't squeeze the Charmin. I'm giving away my age. Now some of y'all are, what? It was a tissue commercial years ago. I mean, you know, when I go in a grocery store, I'm very confident that the bread on that rack is going to be fresh and soft. But still, am I the only one? I mean, still, I am going to take my hand and squeeze it just to make sure. Because nobody wants last week's bread. Right? If you go in the donut shop, the donut wall, if you go in the donut shop, do you go in there and say, give me yesterday's donuts? When I used to stop in the cafe down the street here, and Brother Tommy has taken on those duties of feeding the worship team on Sundays. Brother Tommy, I appreciate that. I've saved a lot of money since you've come into the scene. Because every Sunday down there, I'd spend about $12 or so, and I think you're spending more than that. So thank you, because I'm saving money now. But the girl would come out, and she would say, do you want them hot? Now, give me the coldest ones you can find, and if they're 2 days old, that's great. Some people treat mind renewal just like that. They treat their relationship just like that, relationship to the Lord. But the Bible says that we have to be constantly renewed, constantly in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Because the moment we get away from that mind renewal, then we can get real nasty and ugly. My wife's always, sometimes she'll have to rebuke me, you know, because I might say something and she doesn't like the reflection in my voice. So I, you know, sometimes she'll rebuke me. You know, I am well trained. Folks, I want y'all to know I am well trained. My daughter Rachel was at our house last week, and Miss Becky sent me a text message that we needed garbage bags. So I came home from the church with those garbage bags and put a new garbage bag in the kitchen garbage can. And Rachel was like, man, you just requested that. And I said, girl, I am well trained. When I get a message, it doesn't mean I need them tomorrow. It means when you get here, have those garbage bags. Come on, somebody. Right? Just saying. Just saying. So we have to keep our life fresh, a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. See, that's what being in your right mind means. It means you are clothed in the righteousness of God. God-like, the scripture says. God-like in true righteousness and holiness. And here's the fourth and final thing right here. Fourth and final thing. What does it mean to have a right mind? The demon-possessed man, I love this. He was sitting, he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. And I'm amazed that the verse of Scripture says that all the people that knew him, when they saw this, they were afraid. They were used to him being crazy. Hello, somebody. But when he was seated and clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid of that. Isn't that amazing? They would have rather have the guy naked and living in the cemetery. That was normal to them. Oh, y'all still with me today? That was normal. That was normal behavior. But all of a sudden, he's sitting, he's clothed, and he's in his right mind. I remember the moment I got born again, and some of the guys that I used to run with, man, they were like, oh, "What? Are you a religious fanatic? Are you a Jesus freak?" I said, "Amen, brother. Whose freak are you?" Oh, man, I'm like, don't let me catch a second wind, because it's time to quit already. See, this is what Jesus will do for you. It doesn't matter how messed up you are, how strung out you are, how messed up your mind is, he will cause you to sit and to be clothed and to be in your right mind. Hallelujah. Sitting, meaning positional. I am now in a positional relationship with God. Clothed, meaning that I now have the purity of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Revelation 3:5, he that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. What a miracle. This guy was changed forever. Changed forever. Sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. The forces of darkness will try to convince us about our identity, about our purpose. They will try to convince us that we can't get by without this or without that. They will try to convince us. They will try to convince us. That's because they are roaming spirits. And they will try to convince us in our mind. But thank God, when Jesus steps in, canceled. Just like that. Canceled. Now, if you go and read that story, the Bible says that the demoniac of Gadara, he wanted to then follow Jesus and go with him wherever he went. But Jesus said this. He said, no. He said, go home. See, that's something we didn't talk about. Did this man have a wife? Did he have family? Did he have children? I believe he probably did. Because Jesus said, go home to your family and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Hallelujah. My. He was now in his right mind. Now he took responsibility. He took responsibility. What an incredible example of the grace of God in action.